Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are doing the Atlanta Falcons passing breakdown. So the big news here is Arthur Smith is in, Julio Jones is out, Todd Gurley's out, Mike Davis is in. Of those, I think the biggest two keys, obviously, are Arthur Smith in, Julio Jones out. There's a lot here, and Atlanta's in a really weird spot where they're sunk cap-wise. Like, they've made some, I'm not necessarily going to say bad decisions, but this is kind of one of those deals where if you're not preparing for calamity ahead, when calamity happens, it can hurt you really bad, right? When you don't insure your house and your house burns down, that is really bad. And that's kind of what they did with the salary cap. Like, it'll go up. Like, it's fine. We can restructure Matt Ryan. We can restructure Julio until you can't. And this is where we are. So that's kind of where they're at. So I think this is primarily they're just going to kind of have to eat it type of situation. And just to kind of have to suck it up. And it might be a down year in terms of, the offensive line's a question. The offensive weapons are a question, outside of, a core couple of guys. When you sort of look at their free agent stuff with the guys that hit free agency, that are, were on their team, Alex Mack left in free agency 86.6% of the snaps. Keanu Neal left in free agency 84.8% of their snaps. James Carpenter, he's a free agent. I'm just working down the ranking of the percent of snaps that are their free agents had. James Carpenter, not back. Steven Meeks, he's an edge player, 59.4% of their snaps. He's the first free agent that has returned, in terms of the ranking the guys in snaps. Ricardo Allen left, he's at safety. Dante Fowler's back, and then you get into some of the offensive guys. But really, there's not a, are getting to some of the defensive guys, excuse me. But really, the first guy that hit free agency that is back for them, is on offense is their interior lineman here. Their right tackle, reserve right tackle, Matt Ganu. He played 29.9% of the snaps. So you've lost, Julio. You've lost, who wasn't a free agent, that was a trade. But Gurley's not back. Luke Stocker, the blocker's not back. You've got interior linemen that aren't back. So there's a lot of upheaval, I guess would be the word. It'll be interesting to see sort of what some of this stuff transitions into. I think that one of the key watches of the entire offseason is going to be, who's Arthur Smith? I think Arthur Smith's really good in terms of some of the stuff that he does. Is he locked into what he did, or is he open to additional ideas? For example, his passing rate last year in Tennessee, basically 52.7%. That's 30th in the league. Atlanta threw it 64.6% of the time. That was 15th. So that's a question. That's a lot of volume in terms of passing game. It's probably going to look more, I think, in the middle would be the reasonable guess. Where does that sort of lean? That's a big question that I have. The other big thing here, 29th in terms of running back routes run for Tennessee last year, and 32nd in basically their running back productivity on a yards basis and all that stuff on the per drop back stuff. So that's a pretty big deal. Some other stuff I think of note. Atlanta only threw the ball 49% of the time in the red zone. That was 16th. Tennessee threw it 56.4% of the time. That was 8th in the league. So some potential tendencies there where you could say, all right, there's some, if we're throwing the ball inside the 20 a little bit more often, maybe there's some touchdown upside. Matt Ryan has been a underperforming touchdown guy on a rate basis. From some of the stuff you would expect PFF tracks a stat where it's like fantasy expected points, basically, and he kind of underperforms the stat. So maybe that will, some of the stuff I think could be usage related and move him in a more positive direction. So so as I said, 64.6% of the plays are designed passes last year, 15th in the league. Basically, essentially, they're, you could just say, hey, they're middle of the pack offensively in terms of all the stuff that really happened. Sack rate, 6%, 15th. Yards per attempt, 7.36, 16th. Touchdown rate, 4.3, as 20th. So play action percentage, 26.8, 15th. As I said, Tennessee, big-time play action, 34.9%. That is second. So that is a big leap. Here's why. Yards per attempt on play action, 8.9 for Atlanta last year. Non-play action, 6.8. That is a 30.3% improvement, ninth best in the league. So that's a really big improvement. We like to see that. Let's run more play action. Matt Ryan did it well. I think that's a really interesting one. Their routes, and this is going to be a place where I think we really need to watch, because they do not have an heir apparent to what Julio offered. And I think that some of it could change. Now, if you sort of look at and say, hey, is there, you know, is this a huge hole to fill? Like, the answer to the question is yes, but he was hurt. And then when you look down a little bit further, you're like, well, it's not that many snaps, right? It doesn't hurt. It's not that big of a loss from the 2020 numbers. And so he ran, for example, 296 routes. By way of reference, Russell Gage ran 517. Okay, Calvin Ridley ran 562. So all of a sudden, you sort of look at this and you can say, okay, you know, there is some. There's not a maybe it doesn't look that different. Maybe it doesn't look that different in terms of the actual passing game dispersion, if you will. So I think that's a notable one. The halfback routes, 0.78 per dropback, that's 25th. Targets per dropback, 0.12, that's 25th. Receptions per dropback, 0.10. That's 23rd. Yards per dropback, 0.64. That's 25th. When you look at the receiver, the receiving numbers for the wide receivers, 2.72 routes per dropback, 16th. Again, a lot of this is middling, right? They're just they're pretty unextraordinary, I guess, is the easiest way to describe them. 0.56 targets per dropback, that is 5th, actually. You know, the receptions per dropback, 6th. Yards per dropback, 4th. That's over 5 yards per dropback for the wide receivers. That's pretty good. Tight ends basically ran a route per dropback. The targets, 0.15. That's 25th. Receptions per dropback, 0.10. That's 26th. And yards per dropback, 25th, which is just less than 1. So, again, it's pretty unremarkable is what I would say. Like, it's fine. Like, it's fine. But that's kind of how you end up in a pretty good division, like not being, you end up with a new coach, right? That's kind of the deal. So I do think there's some optimization stuff, more play action, definitely, absolutely, more throwing in the red zone, love to see it. I worry about some of the receiving numbers going down because the passing rate goes down. So just careful there. There's probably a happy medium where they actually catch a nice efficiency, you know, middle there, where that's the number goes down in terms of the overall volume, but the efficiency goes up because it's a little bit more red zone, it's a little bit more play action, and then all of a sudden, like, it doesn't look terribly different in terms of the overall pie, but it's just kind of shaped a little bit differently, if you will. Okay, the receiving breakdown here for the receivers, Ridley, excellent, really, really good last year, 2.44 yards per route run, that's 8th in the league for wide receivers. A-Dot, 11th at 15.2. So that's actually that actually surprised me when I went back and looked at it. I just didn't realize it was that vertical with him. Football Guys has him projected 6th. I've talked to some people and they're like, I just don't see how it's not like top 3 just in terms of the volume. So we'll see there. I think that's going to be definitely one to watch for. Russell Gage, 1.52 in terms of yards per route run. So fine, like it's really good from where he came from. 9.2 ADOT, so basically kind of like a neutral guy. He's projected 49th. And I wonder just how big the passing game volume is, because if it's not, like if it's relatively the same, I wonder how he balances out with a guy like Kyle Pitts, who's at 6, right? I think one of those things, like either Pitts is going to be 6th or Gage is going to be a lot higher, would sort of be my thought. And maybe even a lot higher isn't that big of a deal in terms of difference, but like he could be wide receiver instead of being 49, be, you know, wide receiver 34, and it's looking more like, not that, you know, it's a couple of points per game or something like that. It's not that big of a difference, but you can sort of see it move up. I'd just be on the watch for that. I think Mike Davis fits in this interestingly as well. They didn't do a ton of running back reception stuff. They didn't do it in Tennessee, sort of. Well, then they bring in like one of the best yards per route run running backs in the league last year. Literally, that's not even making that up. Or exaggerating for, you know, AOD allegiance effect. Like Mike Davis was damn good on a route run basis. And so how does that fit? Right? They bring in Cordell Patterson, who does some of the same. It's more gadgety, but that kind of points me in the direction of like, hey, maybe they see something. And maybe the reason why they didn't do a ton of stuff with a running back is because it didn't really work. Derrick Henry just wasn't that guy. Well, what did they do? Right? They got Darrington Evans, which again, that didn't really pan out. But if you sort of look I have some optimism for the running back passing game, because if you sort of look at what they've done, it has suggested that they're interested in more passing game. Right, it is suggested they brought in Darrington Evans. It just didn't work out. Then they go out, they get Mike Davis, who that's really what he does pretty well, is catch the ball out of the backfield, and they get Cordero Patterson, a converted receiver who sort of does those things. Right, that suggests to me that there's an interest in sort of moving in that direction from Arthur Smith. Again, we're conjecturing largely. We don't know, but that gives me some hope in terms of like, hey, all of a sudden, you know, maybe some of that Julio stuff actually gets worked in, and instead of ranking, you know, 16th in routes by wide receivers, they rank, you know, 22nd or something like that, just because you're not going to prioritize Olamide Zaccheaus and his efficiencies over, you know, some of the Hayden Hurst stuff and some of the Mike Davis stuff, for example. Like, you're just going to sort of shape it differently. So that's one thing I'm really interested in watching for, and sort of how that all breaks down. Hayden Hurst, yards per route run, 1.08. That's 39th out of 48 qualifying tight ends. His ADOT, 7.6. That's 29th among tight ends last year, 25th in terms of Football Guys projections this year. Matt Ryan projected 18th at Football Guys. Kyle Pitts, obviously don't have any stats for him, came out of college. He's a phenom. We know all that. 6th in terms of Football Guys projections. So two top 6 finishers at the skill positions there for Football Guys. So that's a pretty notable, or at least at the receiving position, the receiving position and the tight end position in terms of skill position. So I think that's a notable one there. So that's pretty much the deal there with the Football Guys projections. And then you sort of look, I'm not doing a ton of running back stuff. I've promised myself on that because we do it in different ways, but I'll just give you the Mike Davis one too. Just checking, and Mike Davis is at running back 25. So, and they've got him for, 294 in the passing game, and it is 43 receptions. So, and that's on a 17-game pace too. So just keep that in mind. Okay. So some of the other stuff here, it's interesting. Some addition by subtraction, perhaps. Alex Mack was their center last year. Leaves in free agency 25th in terms of pass blocking ranking at Football Guys, 30th in terms of pass blocking efficiency. That basically is, it's a weighted formula, but it's essentially how many clean pass snaps, you know, non-pressured, non-hurried, non-sacked snaps, pass snaps, you know, pass blocking snaps he had. So 30th, again, not good. There's room to grow there. They lost James Carpenter as well. 42nd. He's a guard. 42nd in terms of PFF grade, 52nd in terms of passing efficiency. So that's, you know, that's a concern as well. So they lose him. A couple of additions. Josh Andrews, they bring in free agency. Matt Hennessy, Jalen Mayfield, Drew Dahlman, third and fourth round picks over the past 2 years respectively. Hennessy a center, Dahlman a center, and Mayfield a tackle. So gonna watch there. Again, this is a situation where they're gonna have to take some medicine, and they're probably gonna have to start a couple rookies on their offensive line. Like, that's just probably what they're gonna have to do, and that's really what we're gonna see. So the question really becomes, like, what's the? I think the big thing we need to pay attention to is what is Mike Davis a starter? And sort of how does that look, and what percentage of it is he the starter, and sort of how does he shape into the passing game? And then you're really looking at how big's the role of Gage, how big's the role of Pitts, how big's the role of Hurst. As this is a scenario where, you know, they sort of drop in from 2.72 routes for tight ends, they or for wide receivers, excuse me, they move down, and it's closer to one for running backs, and it's closer to like 1.3 for tight ends, and then all of a sudden it's, you know, much closer to two for wide receivers, where you sort of condense them in. I think that's an interesting sort of watch, and I think that could potentially spell a little bit of more success there for the passing game, but it might look a little bit different. Generally, you want to have receivers running routes. Typically, they're better on a route run basis. But I think when you sort of look at who they could potentially use those routes for, like, it might, you know, if you're taking away like the Brandon Powell routes and some of the other ancillary guys and sort of funnel it a little bit more towards, you know, Davis and Cordarrelle Patterson, for example, like those could be some more efficient running back targets than maybe like league average. So that's the big watch there. Again, if you sort of look down, I think some of the interesting stuff is, you know, with Matt Ryan, like I feel pretty good about him over the next couple of years. Again, he's pretty locked in through this year and next year. I like the coaching staff quite a bit. So that's pretty nice. Calvin Ridley is, you know, I still think he's pretty reasonably priced. Like, he's going wide receiver 7. He's going right next to Adams, so that's notable. He's going ahead of CeeDee Lamb, which is absolutely 100% appropriate in my mind. He's going ahead of DeAndre Hopkins, which I think is appropriate. He's going ahead of Jamar Chase, which I think is appropriate. If you could sort of look up and say, hey, where does he belong? Like, I don't know. I think he's probably got a better argument than A.J. Brown, honestly. I know A.J. Brown's a little bit younger, but he's. I think it's – you know, I think it's probably a safer profile, all things considered, just because I think the volume could be bigger in 2021, and you have the benefit of the really good offensive coordinator moving in Ridley's direction away from Brown. So I think there's a question there. Then you sort of get up in the Justin Jefferson, Diggs range, the position DK Metcalf. I'd probably take him over DK Metcalf. But yeah, I mean, I think he's an interesting one there, and he'd be honestly a target player in that sort of range for sure. You know, in the 7 to 10 range of the position, absolutely. Pitts is up there, obviously. He is tight end 2. He's way up there at the position. Coming in is basically the most expensive tight end ever, so pretty notable. Yeah, so that's pretty much it. Gage is, you know, is way down in terms of his value. Again, people, it's interesting. You sort of read some of the disconnect on Twitter and you sort of like, oh man, like everyone's like, he's got this buzz, and then you look and you're like, ah, it's all the real drafters have him at 68 overall. Like it's totally an echo chamber. So always be careful of that. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, it's a little bit numbers based, but I think I like to look at some of the stuff and you know, I think it's pretty helpful in terms of getting a review of what guys did last year, where there might be some efficiencies, where there might be some upticks, what we could sort of see in terms of some of the improvement. I think Atlanta generally like pretty neutral. Like it's largely unremarkable outside of the fact that they've got two absolute elite wide receivers. By the way, Julio still elite, like pretty darn dominant in terms of yards per route run. Like just stay on the damn field and man, he can mash. You know, that's I think one of the big takeaways. Again, we're going to watch for play action rate and design pass rate, right? If there's two things that I'm watching for, play action rate, design pass rate, going to give us a good indication of the offense, and then sort of maybe how many routes the running backs are running. Like those would be the top three. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.